You're listening to the Activity Pod, where we help you stay focused so you can get stuff done. In today's show, episode 17, we interview Carly Jacobs. We talk to Carly about her much-loved blog, Smaggle, her two new podcasts, and she tells us how she met her partner, Ben, which is one of the best How I Met stories I've ever heard. You can find this episode at theactivitypod.com/17. That's number 17. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook, both at The Activity Pod, where Annette and I are always happy to have a chat. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to The Activity Pod, where your hosts, Annette Jones and Mel Kettle, talk accountability and focus on helping you get stuff done so you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want to from life. And now, here are your hosts, Annette and Mel.
Our guest today is Carly Jacobs. Carly is a blogger, writer, and presenter. She's the founder of Smaggle.com, a blog that teaches people how to be the star of their own lives. She also teaches blogging workshops through her blog school, Little Blog Big, and she's one half of two podcast duos, Straight and Curly for Life Improvement Junkies and Sweet Teen Club, which will launch soon, which is mainly about Sweet Valley High book and also General Child of the 80s nostalgia culture. I love that. How did you come up with Sweet Valley High as a podcast?
Actually, I was talking to my blogging mate, Stacey from Veggie Mama, and we are both totally into all things trashy and pop culture from the 80s, and we actually bonded quite hardcore over those horrible Virginia Andrews.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So they've actually just released a new mini-series of those. So we've been just, like, watching those and talking about them, and then we were talking about Sweet Valley High, and we were like, we should go back over and read those into a podcast on them because that's a podcast I would totally listen to. So that's how that came about.
And then include Degrassi Junior High, Beverly Hills 90210.
Totally. Yeah, all of those things. Absolutely. I've actually been watching the very, very new Degrassi High, which is brilliant. But
really?
You can only kind of – yeah, it kind of just pops up every now and then, like at midnight, and it's brand, brand new, but it's fabulous. So if you can track it down somewhere, highly recommend. It's just as terrible as the original.
I think it's on Netflix now because I was seeing a whole heap of people on Twitter the other day saying, oh, my God, Degrassi's on Netflix.
Oh, my God,
and
it changed my life.
Right, I'll be checking that out.
I just periodically will type Degrassi into the search thing just to see if it's on there. But I'm so excited it'll actually pop up now. That's great.
I know. But just you were saying about the Virginia Andrews books, I had all of those when I was in my teens and, I don't know, probably until I was about 20, and I was obsessed. And they're all now at our family holiday house, which is where I was for Christmas, with one of my cousins and his family who came out from England. And my cousin's daughter, who's 17, wanted something to read, and she powered her way through at least three of them in the 4 or 5 days we were there together.
Oh, and they're so perfect. They're so digestible and so disgusting as
I know.
Like when you're reading them, you're just like, oh, my God, they're brother and sister. Gross.
I know. And I said to her, you remind me of me at that age because I think when I started power reading my way through them, I was about 16 or 17 as well.
And which yeah, I think that was about the age.
Which I think is when they
too.
Came out. Yeah. And she just looked at me and I thought, okay, that was maybe not the coolest thing to say. But I thought that was quite amusing.
Yeah, they're great books. They've really stood the test of time. They're quite fabulous.
I don't know if I feel brave enough to read them again. I saw Xanadu again recently on TV and I was heartbroken because it did not live up to my, 11-year-old Mel expectations.
Oh, no, it's so upsetting when that happens.
I know. Anyway, we digress. The first thing we really want to know from you is how do you fit everything in?
Okay, so one of the first things I do with fitting it all in is that I don't mess around. I just get right into it. There's so much stuff that you can do. Like if you have your own business or even if you work in a regular job, whatever, there's so much stuff to be done and you just really don't have time to mess around with it. So just get in, get up, do it, that kind of stuff. Another thing I do is that I also know my best hours to work, and it took me a really long time to figure out how to work with this. I'm quite okay in the morning. I don't love getting getting out of bed, but it, you know, it's kind of, it has to be done. So I do it. But I suck between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. Like it is just, I could have a nap for 2 full hours at that time every afternoon. I don't have time to do that, obviously. So what I do instead is I schedule all my monkey work for that time. So if I have to schedule some social media posts or, you know, make some, because I batch a lot of my tasks and do lots of the same task at the same time. So if I have on Instagram a quote that pops up, I've already made those and it'll take me a couple of hours to do that, but it's really mindless. So I'll do that kind of stuff between 2 and 4 p.m. when I, you know, can't make good words happen at that time of day. I also give myself a strict clock off time every night. So I go phone and computer screen free at 9 p.m. every night. Otherwise, I could just spend all evening on my computer doing endless things. So I have to call it quits and get proper rest.
Yep.
So that's a really big one. I do, 9 p.m. screen free every night. And you can actually find that hashtag on Instagram. So sometimes I'll do challenges with my readers where we'll all clock off at 9 p.m. And it's lovely. And one more thing I do is that I try really hard to eat well. Like if I, like I'll eat heaps and heaps of salad and veggies all week. And then on Friday, I'll be like, oh, I'm going to have like a Tim Tam in the afternoon. And it just wipes me. No, but it will just like, it will wipe me out. Like I sound like such a Pollyanna about it, but seriously, like if I eat a Tim Tam at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm going to need a nap. I'm fine at night and on weekends, like bring it on.
Yep.
But if I need to actually get some work done, like Tim Tams are the devil, man. It's worse than beer. Honestly, just wipe out town.
That's funny. It's a rare day that I have a glass of wine or a beer at lunch these days because that wipes me out for the rest of the day.
Totally. It's so upsetting. Like I used to be a teacher, right? And like I would never – that sounds so dreadful just starting with that. I would never, ever, ever
– have like, a beer at lunchtime. That's really good to know.
No, but like back when I was teaching, I could be hungover teaching and it was quite fine. But I can't be hungover and write. It's awful.
Mm, yep. Yeah, I think you're accessing different parts of your brain, aren't you?
Yeah.
For sure. So do you have a daily routine that sort of sets your day up in the mornings, apart from rolling out of bed if you don't want to? What do you do after that before you actually sort of sit down to work?
My routine is always I generally exercise first thing in the morning if I haven't been up too late the night before binge watching something awesome on Netflix. But I get up and I exercise and I usually have a shower as well. And I like to get dressed properly every day because I work from home. I've got an office as well. But I just find that I write better if I wear pretty shoes and lipstick. And I know that sounds really weird, but it just makes me feel like I'm presentable and I'm showing up for work, you know, for my readers and for my clients, even though they can't see me. I also make sure that I take, you know, like my vitamins and all that kind of stuff in the morning. And I am a real breakfast eater. I think it's important to eat breakfast and I always have a coffee. One of my favorite things I've been doing, because my office where I rent some space is about an hour away from where I live. So it takes me that long to get there on the train. And I love listening to podcasts while I do that, which is my new favorite thing. And I try to set myself up the night before so I'm not like crashing around the house like an idiot trying to grab stuff because I just think like some people start their days and they're like, oh my God, like I don't have any cereal and I don't have any milk. And it's like, you just started your day off on the wrong foot there, sweetheart. Like I just think that if people just spent the time the night before just sort of calmly making sure they know what they're going to wear, make sure they have enough things for their breakfast, make sure they've packed all the things they need in their bag. It takes like 10 minutes. You can do it in the ad break of a TV show and it stops you from, you know, starting your day like a psycho the next day.
So my husband plays golf and on Saturday mornings he's up at 4:30 out the door by 5:15 to go to golf. I know, he's crazy. And one of my favourite hashtags is golf widow. But I do love it because it means I get Saturday mornings to myself to have a sleep in without him saying to me at 6 o'clock, get out of bed now, you lazy thing, because he's a morning person and I'm not. But he always lays his golf clubs out the night before and he puts them in the living room so that he can very kindly and thoughtfully go sneak out of the bedroom in the dark at, you know, 4 o'clock and then go into the living room, turn the lights on, get dressed, have breakfast, do what he needs to do, and then comes in and gives me a kiss goodbye.
Oh, and, that's so sweet.
It's very sweet. He's very lovely in that way, in many ways, but particularly in that way. And I was away on the weekend and he said to me, I still laid all my clothes out in the living room.
Oh, because you still did it even though you were away.
It's such a force of habit, but it gets better because I was overseas for 7 weeks early in the year last year and he didn't come with me. And he said it took him until week 4 to realise and remember that I wasn't going to be there on Saturday morning so he could get dressed in the bedroom.
Oh, that's so cute. I actually do the same thing with my partner because he's a business owner as well and he's got a business partner who lives in Canada. So his schedule is completely whacked. So he won't go to sleep until about 2 or 3 in the morning. And obviously he's not going to get up at 6, but I get up at 6. So I do the same thing. I keep my gym gear in our lounge room and I make sure I've got all of my stuff packed and ready to go, my lunch and everything, so I'm not like crashing around in the kitchen and, you know, unpacking the dishwasher and stuff while he's trying to sleep. So,
Very good. So your blog is called Smaggle. What does that mean? Where did that come from?
Tell
me.
So Smaggle is an invented word that my partner and I made up when I first started my blog 8 years ago. Mm. And it's a cross between a smash and a snuggle. So, you know, when you are like holding a puppy or a kitten and you just kind of want to squeeze it until it hurts a little bit, or there's like chubby baby thighs and you just want to bite them.
Yes.
It's kind of just like it's kind of like violent affection or like when you love your partner so much, you kind of just want to beat them up a little bit, like in a really lovely way. Like it's not domestic violence. That's not what it is. It's just like that. It's kind of just like a metaphor for being too excited about stuff, because that's kind of what Smaggle is about. It's about just being too excited about life and getting, you know how like when little kids, like when you tell them you're going to go buy them an ice cream and they do like a little happy dance with their feet. Like that's kind of what Smaggle is. It's just like being like,
argh! Or like a dog when you pick up the lead and say it's time for a walk and they go absolutely turn themselves inside out.
Totally. It's not very glamorous. It's kind of, one of my friends likened it to when you come home and your dog is so excited they wee on the floor.
Yeah.
That's kind of what a Smaggle is. Very unglamorous, very enthusiastic. Happiness is what Smaggle is.
I'm a very visual person. So you wrote a blog post a while ago about how to be the star of your own life.
Yes.
What does that look like for you?
Being the star of your own life, I think, actually has a lot more to do with giving to other people than focusing on yourself. I think a lot of people, I kind of call it like the special snowflake syndrome. I think a lot of people like self-diagnose themselves, and people like really identify with, you know, being an introvert or an extrovert or an INTJ, whatever the hell. And I'm just like, you know what, you're not special. And no one should have to adjust their behavior to suit you. I think everyone needs to just get out there and be the best person they can be. They need to engage with other people. Try to be kind to other people. You don't need to be aware of someone's star sign or however their chakras are aligned or whatever. Like, just be a decent person. Don't be a dick. Treat people as you want to be treated is kind of how to be the star of your own life. And also put yourself out there and ask for things. Like, if you don't ask for something, the answer is always no. Put yourself out there, make connections with other people, let people know that you're on the dance floor and you're ready to dance, because if you're just sitting on the sidelines, no one's going to help you out.
That's true. That's love come that. Up. That's yeah. That's come up a couple yeah. of times today, yeah. hasn't it?
So have you read Amanda Palmer's book, The Art of the Ask?
Oh, no, I haven't, but it sounds fabulous.
Check it out. She gave a TED Talk as well. It's quite short. And she is an artist. And she,
I do love a bit of Amanda Palmer. I think she's fab.
Oh, she's awesome. And I had never heard of her until this TED Talk was stuck under my nose one day and I was told to watch it. And she did a Kickstarter crowdsourcing campaign to raise money for an album and just made so much money as a consequence, because she asked her fans to help her. And she said, you'll get my album for free, but you all need to help me pay for it, because I don't like my recording company, my record label, and I want to leave them, but I've got all these musical ideas, so you need to help me get them out there. And they did.
Yeah, she's great. That was with Patreon, wasn't it? Did she do that with?
I can't remember. Like I said, I'd never heard of her other than this book and the podcast.
Yeah, she's fab. She does some very, very cool stuff.
Yeah, that's incredible, isn't
it? Yeah, it is. It is. But it just goes to show that if you don't ask, you don't get. And yeah, like you exactly. said, you might not get if you do ask, but you might get it later. Or you might get something else.
Exactly. And if you want to be a writer and you pitch an idea to an editor of a magazine and they go, oh, look, we're not really looking for this right now. Mm. In a year's time, if they are looking for something like that, you're the first person they're going to go to. So
yeah, exactly.
Rejection is never actually rejection.
Exactly. That's true.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I heard a funny saying years ago, just getting back to the being a star of your own life, where, you know, no one's special, et cetera, and someone saying, you know, you are so unique. You are really unique, just like everybody else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the thing.
There's so many quotable quotes coming out of this podcast episode.
But no, that's actually another thing that I was thinking about, actually, because I did used to be a teacher and I taught high school like 10 years ago, very, very long time ago.
Really?
And there was all this stuff where, like, you'd get these kids coming to class and be like, you know, I don't deal well with authority and I don't like being told what to do. And the way that I learn is by, you know, teachers really coming to me and providing me with the stuff that I need. And I think that was kind of like one of my main things with my blog, was just like, oh my God, get over yourself. Like, there's stuff that needs to be done. No one has time for this. Pull yourself together, do the best you can, I think was,
Unbelievable. Yeah. Okay. So, are you a goal setter? And if so, what are your big goals for this year?
I am a goal setter. I have quite a few things I want to do. I did a 5 and 10 year plan quite recently that I'm yet to solidify. Are you guys familiar with Sean Wes?
No.
He does a fabulous podcast. He's actually created a crazy successful business through being a hand letterer and teaching people how to do hand lettering. So he's learned a lot about business. So it's a fabulous podcast. He's very, very excellent. He has very silly hair, but we'll forgive him for that. But he had this amazing thing that he did that was called the Lambo goal, where he decided one year that he wanted to buy a Lamborghini, but it had to be 10% of his full earnings that year, and he needed to be able to pay cash for it.
Wow.
And I've forgotten how much Lamborghinis are, but I think like the cheapest is about 80 grand.
Oh,
so
that it depends what country you're in.
Yeah, he's in the States. Yeah. So
US.
Yep. Possibly a bit cheaper. And his whole thing was that he made it public and put it on the website, and then he asked his readers, he said, if you think that I can't achieve this goal, I will give you $5. And he said, all you have to do is email me and say, I don't believe that you will achieve your goal, and then you have to press a button that says, I don't believe that Sean West will achieve his goal, and then he will give you $5. And only two people did it.
Wow.
And he has like a following of like, his email list is like 500,000
Wow.
people. And so that was just really cool. So we're just thinking about goal setting. I think I just always love telling the story of Sean Wes, because I just think that's really cool, because I think that a lot of people think that everyone's against them and they don't want you to achieve your goals, but I think you'll find that most people do want you to achieve your goals. You just need to be sure enough in your own goals that you'll get there. So sorry, I'll go back to my goals. I've got two podcasts that are coming out this year, and I really want to do more with that. I'm also wanting to do more products and online e-courses as well through Smaggle, because I've got a lot of people that come to me and they want sort of I do a lot of how to get your shit together, how to get shit done, that kind of stuff. And sorry, I think I'm swearing too much on your podcast.
That's fine.
Guys.
Don't worry.
We already have an explicit rating with iTunes, so go for it.
Oh, wow. Oh, goodness.
Because somebody said shit, bum or poo in one of the first episodes, which is what gave it to us.
Oh, no. Oh, goodness. I'll have to remind
that. Wasn't one of us, was it?
It might have been me, actually.
Oh, no. I'll have to avoid that for the first few episodes of ours, so at least I can keep a clean rating for a little while, because it'll get nasty eventually, trust me. So I want to do more products. I'm also planning, I want to live overseas for a year. My partner and I are planning on going to America at some stage, and we want to do a full road trip of America and document the whole thing. So that's a huge goal of ours that we're kind of looking, we're doing a little mini trip to the US in a month.
That's one of my goals as well, to do a 12-month road trip around the US.
Yeah, it's been on our list for ages, and we camp very well together. And, you know, we did a little tour of New Zealand in this gorgeous little camper van, and it's the happiest we've ever been. And we're just like, it's just the two of us in a little van and everything's beautiful. And
Mel's just fainted. You said the C word. Camping, well, camping is a 3-star hotel to me.
Oh gosh, no. See, I thought that too, but we started camping at the beginning of the year and I actually love it. Like, it's obviously gross. And you you have to get over it a little bit. But we've been doing some hardcore camping. Like, we carry all our stuff and like hike for a few days and don't shower for 5 days. And but it's just so beautiful and it's a really I'm so sorry, that was a text message from my mum.
Oh, so, did you guys hear that? No.
Oh, you didn't hear it. Oh,
hi, Mum.
Oh, good. I just dobbed myself in. Oh, and then she hit, yeah, and again, well done. I'll make her listen to this podcast and she'll be like, oh, I'm famous. So those are my goals for the short term. And my actual only goal that I really want long term, like ever in the history of my life, is that I want to own, like, a $3.5 million warehouse conversion in Fitzroy.
Okay.
That's what I want. That's like, I can't think of anything else I want. Like, I don't, there's no cars that I want. There's no like crazy awesome equipment. I just want a big, beautiful house in Fitzroy with a gorgeous rooftop garden because it's the only place I want to live. So
is that what success looks like for you? Is that how you would define it for yourself?
Success for me is waking up every day and being excited about what I'm doing. And also success is not having to do mundane stuff. So I'm in the process of, in my business of getting to the point where I don't have to, you know, do any of my own graphics and that kind of stuff, because that's not my strength. I like creating content and I like doing events and I like teaching people and I want to get to the point where those are the three things that I'm doing and I don't have to do anything else.
Yeah, nice.
So that is definitely a marker of success for me. And also, yeah, I just really want a big, beautiful, delicious house in the suburb of my choice, and that's all I want.
Fabulous. I like that. I do like Fitzroy. I might come and visit when you do.
Oh, you should. I just love it so much. It just like feeds my soul creatively and it's just always a place I want to be. And yeah, there's nothing else I really want. And I was like, oh, that's kind of like, and I actually kind of feel like it's quite achievable. So oh, is there anything else I want? I'm like, no, that's it. That's what I want.
One of my first girlfriends who moved to Melbourne lived in Fitzroy when she first moved there. And I loved it. I'd go and stay with her and I'd go exploring. And then she got married and she bought a house with her husband. And I can't even remember where it is, but it's a good hour and a half on the train on the outer suburbs of Melbourne. And the first time I Google mapped it and I did a little comparison to Fitzroy, I just went, I don't know if I'll be visiting you quite as often these days.
It's like, well, that's over then.
But anyway, she's happy where she is and that's the most important thing.
Yep.
So when I met you last year at ProBlogger, you talked about your new business called Little Blog Big, or your new then business, with Christina Butcher. And you refer to Christina as your business wife.
She's my business wife. I love her.
Is she your podcasting partner for any of your new podcasts?
No, not for any of my podcasts. We're actually thinking about doing a video series or a podcast series next year for Little Blog Big. It got so much bigger than we expected it to last year. We were just kind of, the reason why we did it was because we had lots of people asking us about blogging, and then we were just like, why don't we team up and do events? And it actually turned out to be the most fun ever. Like, so much work, like dollar per hour was dreadful, but like just so much fun and just really beautiful people and wonderful events. My partners for my podcast are Stacey Roberts from Veggie Mama and Kelly Exeter from A Life Less Frantic. In Little Blog Big, it's Christina Butcher. And that's actually just another thing I really love about blogging and that kind of stuff. I really love collaborating, and that's when I think you get stuff done. And so, yeah, Chrissy and I just started working on that last year, and she's wonderful to work with, and we are the negatives to each other's positives. So she's a lot more techie than I am, and she's better with images and that kind of stuff, and I do a lot more of our content creation, and we actually present really well together as well.
We would like to give a huge thank you to Kylie Meller from Duo Sister. Kylie is a freelance graphic and web designer and the first sponsor of The Activity Pod, and she is responsible for our fabulous logo and artwork. Thank you, Kylie.
If you are looking for a graphic or web designer, then look no further than Duo Sister. You can find Kylie on Twitter at Duo Sister, DuoSista, or www.duosister.com.au. Thanks again, Kylie. Obviously, you like collaborating with people and going into partnership for projects like your podcasts and your little blog, Big. What do you like about it? Like, why do you collaborate so much?
I'm very much a people person. Sorry, I'm just telling you guys my needs right now so that you can just totally meet them for me because I'm a special snowflake. I respond very well to working with other people, and I like discussing things, and I like having people to bounce ideas off. I quite prefer to work one-on-one with another person. Working as teams has never really meshed that well with me because once you've got five people in a room, pretty much nothing gets done.
And there's always someone who does absolutely nothing, and there's somebody who does absolutely everything.
Exactly. And it's really hard to get away with that when there's only two of you because it's pretty obvious who the person who's doing all the work is.
I really
enjoy collaborating. And I think that one of the most beautiful things about, the internet and being an online entrepreneur is that you get to meet these extraordinary people that you never would have met otherwise. Like Chrissy and I literally met on Twitter.
Oh,
like,
I love that.
It's just like we stalked each other for ages, and then she was at a conference that I was at, and she was like, oh my God, I'm at this conference. And she's like, I'm at the front of the room. I was like, oh my God. And then I ran to the front of the room and she ran right up to me and she's like, hi. And I was like, I don't know who you are. And she's like, I'm Hair Romance Loser. Like, I legit had no idea who she was because she's a hair blogger. She only ever showed the back of her head back then. So I hadn't seen her face. And she's like, hey. And so, yeah, it was so awkward. And my mum was actually totally creeped out about it. So she was just like, oh, my God, you're meeting all these people online. Like, is it totally safe? And Chrissy and Jim actually stayed with my parents when we did Little Blog Big in Canberra.
Oh,
and mum was like,
great.
It's your internet friend. Like, is like you met them on the internet. And I'm like, Mum, they're totally fine. And then so my mum was fretting about it for days leading up to it, and then she met them and she was like, oh my God, they're the best humans in the world. I'm like, I know, right? Like, not everyone on the internet is going to kill you.
So I met Sean, my husband, online through rsvp.com about 11 years ago. And Annette met her partner through online dating, RSVP, as well. But I find is highly amusing is that when I first got on Twitter and I'd meet all these people who I knew from Twitter, Sean would say to me, how do you know they're not a serial killer? And I'm like, well, how did I know you weren't when I first met you due to an online environment?
Exactly. That's so old school of you guys. We're not even old school. It's kind of like semi-modern, semi-old school meeting on RSVP.
We met 11 years ago, so it was quite new then. And for the first probably 3 or 4 years, we didn't tell anyone how we met because I was too embarrassed. And so when my mother said to me, how did you meet him? I just flat out looked her in the eye and lied.
And just like,
and the same with Sean's mum. When she said, how did you meet? I just said through mutual friends because I knew she wouldn't understand.
Well, see, it's such an Australian thing because those are the two ways that you meet people. You either go to a pub and pash one of your existing friends or you meet them online. That's pretty much the only way to go about it. So it's one or the other.
And how did you meet yours?
I went to a pub and pashed my existing friend. Ben and I met. It's actually a very funny story. I went to a play because I do theatre as well. I'm an actor, and back in the day I was doing theatre in Canberra, and I went to a play that my friend was in. It was called The Woman in Black, and there's a Scottish gravedigger character in this play, and this guy walked out on stage and he was all like this giant amazing nose and this like, you know, strawberry blonde ginger hair and this amazing Scottish accent, and I was like, who is this guy? And I'm in my first year of uni, so I was 18 at the time, and I went out afterwards and introduced myself to this guy because I'm that type of person. I was like, oh, I like you, I'm going after you. And I was like, hey. And he goes, hey. He's like, can I buy you a drink? I'm like, awesome. And so he bought me a drink. And then, no, it gets so much worse. And then my friend came up to me and she was like, Carly, I need to talk to you for a minute. I was like, no, I'm totally fine. Like, I'm in, dude. I don't need you to wing woman me. I have got this under control. And then she's like, no, seriously, you need to come and talk to me like immediately. I'm like, I'm fine. She's Carly, get over here now. And she goes, yeah, he's 14 years old. And I was like, yeah, what? I'm like and I just kind of, I put down my beer and just left because I was just like, holy crap, I nearly committed a felony. And then So I ran into him because he was doing like lights and design and stuff in theatre. And the next time I saw him, I said, "You little shit." I said, you bought me a drink. I said, "You're not even 18. He's like, "I don't know. I was just trying my luck." I'm like, "You cheeky bastard." And then we just kept running into each other and running into each other. And then 4 years later, I was 22 and he was 18 and he MSN'd me. And he was like, "Hey, how's it going?" And I was like, "Good." And then he asked me out on a date. We've been together ever since. We have our 10-year anniversary next month. So it's a little bit gross, but, you know, it's a good story, so it's worth telling.
Oh, that's so funny. I love that.
Yeah, it's a goodie, slightly embarrassing, but, yeah, like, he's been, like, the most grown-up person ever that I've ever met, so he definitely didn't look 14 at the time, so don't, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. I'm going to tell that story to my stepson who's 15 and who looks about 18.
Oh, yeah. Tell him to try his luck. He might bag himself a long-term partner.
He's not really into girls yet. He's just into golf, which is good. So.
Oh, that's great. You know. Keep that going for as long as you can. I know. Girls are trouble. Keep him away from them.
Exactly. So just to be serious for a moment.
Oh, okay.
I know. We can have a few serious moments.
Okay.
Last year you spoke at ProBlogger and
yes.
Your presentation with Chrissy was possibly my favourite of the whole few days,
oh,
which
that's
I
so
think
nice
I've told you,
you
before, and I'm just going to remind you again. And what I loved about it was that you just gave so many really clear-cut, practical tips on how to get shit done.
So, oh, good. That's what we try to do. That was our whole plan. So I'm so glad we got that feedback. Thank you so much.
Now I'm going to ask you to remember what they were, and can you share a few of those with our listeners, please?
Yes, sure. I actually wrote a few down. So if you hear paper rustling,
excellent.
That's just me trying to find my spot. So my main things that I do to get shit done, I love timers. My two favorite techniques are the Pomodoro, which is where you set a timer for 20 minutes and you just work hardcore for those 20 minutes, and then you can take a break. So this is really good for short tasks that you need to get done really quickly, or tasks that don't have an end. So for instance, if you're if you need to spend some time on Facebook, spend 20 minutes on Facebook and then get out of there, because you could spend 5 hours on Facebook.
I never thought about doing that for Facebook.
Yeah, and it works for like Instagram or any of that
all
kind of social
media. Yeah.
Yeah, anything like that. And it actually works really well for things like relaxation stuff as well. So if you want to play a video game or something, set a timer for 20 minutes and do that, and then end that after 20 minutes, because again, you can play games for like 4 hours and that's just a waste of everyone's time. Another one of my favorites is the 53-17, where you set a timer for 53 minutes and you have to work hardcore for those 53 minutes. You're not allowed to, you know, go on Facebook or Twitter or, you know, answer emails or anything. And then at the end of your 53 minutes, you set another timer for 17 minutes, and then you can do anything you want for those 17 minutes. Yeah.
I think that was my favourite tip that you gave. And one
have you tried it?
I have tried it, and I need to get back to it because I'm still mentally on holiday mode, which is not that great after 5 weeks. But when I have used it, it's just been amazing, and I've still felt really switched on and productive at the end of the day, particularly when I use that 17 minutes to, you know, go for a walk or have something to eat or – you know, have a little micro nap on the couch.
Exactly. It makes such a big difference, and it stops you from having that "I've been hit by a train" feeling at the end of the day. And also it's really good for marathon work. So if you – and it's so good for studying as well. So if you've got any like student listeners, it's so good for writing essays. If you have to write a 3,000-word essay and you've bookmarked a day to do it, work on it for 53 minutes, take a 17-minute break, and just repeat, repeat, repeat until you get it done, and you'll just be so much more productive. And I do that in lieu of breaks. So I don't do that and then take a lovely big morning tea break and then a lunch break and then an afternoon tea break, because that's just a lot of breaks.
Yeah.
So you do that in lieu of your breaks.
That 53-17 technique works really, really well for me because I can race the clock. So that 53-17 technique works really, really well for me because I can race the clock. So if I know I've only got that amount of time and that I want to get a whole heap done, I find I get more done by doing that. So I'm like constantly sort of quick, 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 quick. You know, I've got this like whip happening in my brain going, go, 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 go.
Yeah, so absolutely. And really, also the 17 minutes is actually a really decent amount of time for a break. And you really want to earn it and enjoy it. And you know that if you dick around in 53 minutes, you're just not going to enjoy your 17.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've exactly found that too. Yep. So any other productivity tips that you'd like to share?
I've got some apps that I use that I quite like. I've been using Asana recently, which is really good. It's just basically, it's a to-do list app, but you can have, you can join other people with it. So Chrissy and I have a shared list in there. I've got a shared list in there with my partner. And the best thing is that after you tick off like three or four things in a row, a unicorn flies across the screen.
Oh, so, fantastic.
Yeah, so it's awesome. So you really want to tick things off because you're like, yes, magical unicorn. I also have my calendar app that I use is Time Page. It's Moleskine's Time Page, which I love. Full disclosure, my partner actually made the app. But I love it, and I'm very, very fussy on calendar apps. And, you know, I love him, but if he made a shitty calendar app, there's no way I'd still be using it. But, no, it's really awesome, and it connects to my Apple Watch. So I've got the Apple Watch as well, and it's good because it gives me little reminders of things. So I have 20-minute reminders on all of my calendar things because I often just, like, will forget stuff, and my watch will buzz me and be like, oh, you know, you're recording a podcast with Mel Kettle this afternoon. I'm like, right, I am. And it'll give me a 20-minute little thing so that I know to, you know, go to the toilet and have a drink and write down my notes and that kind of stuff. So I'm not kind of, you know, bumbling around going, oh, what am I going to say on the podcast?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Excellent. Oh, I actually have another really good trick that I wanted to share with you guys. Sorry, just on this topic. So I work in the same office as Kate from Drop Dead Gorgeous Daily and Secret Vloggers Business, and we kind of act as, you know, kind of business support people to each other. And she's been trying to get me to do some funnels, like email funnels on my blog for, you know, content and sales and that kind of stuff. And I've been resisting it for ages because honestly, it just looks really complicated and I'd rather just write blog posts. And so she's like, you just have to do it because you just, you know, you're being a loser about it. And I was like, oh, fine, I'm going to do it. And so she said, well, we need an incentive. And her and I were having some wine on Friday. So I'm not drinking for the rest of this month, just for like a health thing. And then I said, so what I'm going to do. So on Monday morning, I came in and I gave her $200 cash. And if I don't have my first funnel set up by Friday morning ready for people to sign up, she's going to take that $200, buy some really expensive red wine with it, and pour it down the sink in front of me.
Oh.
So that's my incentive. And she's not allowed to drink it because I quite enjoy watching people enjoy wine. So that's not a big enough incentive. She has to waste it. And the $200 is in an envelope stuck to the top of her desk as we speak.
Oh, so how are you going with that?
Well, my computer died today, so really well. Yeah, it's all coming together quite nicely, but Kate's been very nice and she's going to give me an extension if my computer doesn't figure out what it's doing this afternoon.
Well,
it was really good though because I wrote all the content for it. I wrote 4,000 words of content for it yesterday.
Oh,
so that
wow.
was a really good that was a really good incentive.
That's mammoth.
Yeah, it was massive. Awesome. My brain, yeah. I felt really unproductive yesterday and then I looked at my word count and I was like, 4,000 words, I'm going home.
That's excellent. Yeah. So just our final question is, what is your top tip to get stuff done?
I think top tip to get stuff done is to just realize that the time is going to pass anyway. And if you sit there and be like, oh, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, and procrastinate, you're only going to do a crappy job at the last minute. And you're basically like, because if you have a full day to do something and you waste the first 7 hours of the day thinking about not doing it in ways that you cannot do it and then doing whatever task you have to do in the last hour and doing a crappy job, you might as well just do a brilliant job from the start and then you'll have seven whole hours for the rest of the day. It's just logic.
Yep. I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No worries.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest today. Before we go, where can our listeners find you and where is the best place for them to connect with you?
Oh, look, you can find me in a variety of different ways. I'm at smaggle.com, which is SMAGGLE.com. I'm at Smaggle on Twitter, at Smaggle on Instagram, /Smaggle on Facebook. And I'm also at Little Blog Big on Instagram as well. That's pretty much. Oh, and I've also got Straight and Curly podcast coming out soon and Sweet Teen Club coming out soon. And both of those will be available on iTunes. So.
Will there be links to those from Smaggle?
There will be eventually when they're actually live.
When they go live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thank you again. You've given us lots of great tips and advice and some reminders of getting back into 53-17 for me.
Laughs.
No worries. Thank you guys so much for having me. It was lovely. And I hope I'm actually trapped in the corner of a room in my office, and I'm hoping it's not too echoey, but I've been sitting on the concrete floor with chairs around me to try and make it sound better. So
It's been great. And good luck with your podcasts. We
Thank
will
you
definitely
so much.
Listen in. I'm very excited about Sweet Teen Club in particular.
Oh, good, good. I think I'm recording the first five of those with Stacey this week. So hopefully they'll be out soon.
Lots Excellent. I hope they're fabulously fun for you.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks for listening to The Activity Pod. Continue the conversation over at theactivitypod.com, where you'll find the show notes and all the other fantastic episodes, together with links to our Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivitypod, or tweet us at theactivitypod, where you'll find Annette and Mel every day. Theactivitypod.com is also a place where you can connect with Annette and Mel directly. Thanks for joining us today as we find better ways to help you focus, become more productive, and get stuff done so that you can gain greater freedom to choose what you want from life. We'd love you to join us in our next episode, where we look forward to helping you with accountability so that you can get stuff done.